explain why a gift day. In this present situation we're in, we have no emergency. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We actually have a very, very healthy reserve in the church because we weren't able to fill various posts, various staff posts over the past year or so. So we had no minister in post in Barton. We were short on a youth leader, for youth team leader. So you quickly accrue money when you don't have people in post, which we've budgeted for salaries. And so we have a very healthy reserve. So why a gift day? Well, because giving is part of our life as a disciple of Jesus, and it's spiritually important for us to give. And a gift day provides us with two opportunities. First, it's an opportunity to review the regular giving that we make. Periodically, we need to review the regular giving that we make, and a gift day provides that sort of focus for us. We need focus in our lives to make those kind of moves. And it's also an opportunity to make a special gift as a church together. So let's just look at the reviewing our regular giving. If you want to look at this reference in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 2, Paul quite specifically says, you know, the way to give is to think about it systematically and do it regularly. Have a look at that text. It's just very, very clear. Same in the old world as it is in the new world. If you don't put the money aside, it's spent and it's gone. It's not there any longer. You know, you just need to decide what you're going to do with those things. The Old Testament, of course, there was the teaching about the tithe, the regular giving of 10%. So that principle of regularly giving is there. Practically, as our reserves come down, because we've got all our posts filled, hallelujah, and that's going to mean the money will rush out now, having rushed in. as they come down, if our giving comes up, then hopefully the two will meet and we won't have a big crisis in a year, 18 months, 2 years' time. If you need forms, then pick them up. I'm hoping they're on the entrance desk. I'm hoping there's some forms in envelopes, but we will certainly have the forms. John has forms. John, do you wave your hand, treasurer? And we've got them in. Come and speak to us in the lobby there. We can give you the forms. Forms both for regular giving, but also for how to give tax efficiently. I think everyone probably is aware that if you give in and register your name and fill in the appropriate forms, then we can reclaim the tax. The government wants charities to have that money, and it wants us to have that money so we can use it for charitable purposes. And so that's how we can be. You can give what you give, and then we get more money in. And also, forms are available on the website, so you just follow the links on the website. So that brings us up onto the one-off gift. So in terms of the one-off gift, because of the size of our surplus at the moment, we have decided that this gift day, rather than giving to some special project in the church, we want to give outside the church. And as a leadership team, we were very struck with an opportunity that we have to make a particular statement in terms of our Christian principles. And we want to propose that 50% of our gift day gift goes to Oxfam. That shows solidarity with Oxfam at this very difficult time for Oxfam. Oxfam have obviously hit the news for very sad reasons. However, we do see that very much as a product of the confusion in our society about sexual ethics. They simply represent that. They're no worse than anybody else. Certainly, they're probably better than many in terms of how they control things. And we certainly see within that there's a sense of wanting to press down on the aid sector. So we see it as a prophetic statement that a wealthy country like ours should not pull back from helping those in need. This is our statement. As Christian people, we believe God's word to our nation. We need to keep helping people in need, and we mustn't pull back from that and become just a selfish, inward-looking nation. So we feel there's a unique opportunity by giving to Oxfam to make that public statement. And indeed, it's an opportunity then to fulfill our Christian calling to defend the poor. We know that money goes to Oxfam. There's a very healthy amount that gets right out onto the field, be that in emergency relief or in aid and development. We have three members of our church are employed by Oxfam. We have another member who was very recently employed back to Oxfam. We have a family, someone related, somebody in our church who's been laid off by Oxfam because of the present problems. We have neighbors who have worked for Oxfam. It's a wonderful opportunity to make a statement. So 50% we're going to give to Oxfam. I know that some people have a problem that's going to an organization which is not a Christian organization. And if that is a real problem, then we respect and honor your position on that one. But this is what we would like to do as a church. The other half we want to give away to a church, probably, but maybe churches who are seeking to secure premises. There are many churches in Oxford who have all the struggles that we've had in the past when we were out of this building and we had to set up to the church each week, and they're looking for buildings. And we haven't decided which church that will be. There are people looking for various properties. Some of you will know that the church building on Cowley Road, the ORC building, is up for sale, and a number of churches are bidding for that. And there are other churches in that same process. We want to bless and affirm that opportunity for a church to have that presence in the community, and so that will be coming round. And we'll be taking up the gift day offering next week. Now, John would like me to say that we're approaching the end of the financial year. It will be immensely helpful if gifts can all come in next week or before next week and not carry over into the next financial year. And so if there's the tendency to give and say, oh, I forgot this, I'll give next week, the week after, other, can you try and do it next Sunday? That'd be wonderful. If you have any questions, there's the sheet on the back there, but there's also sheets in the foyer on the table describing this, and please ask questions if you wish to. Thank you. Shall I just lead us in a quick word of prayer? Father God, thank you very much that right at this point in time, you've blessed our church financially. Lord, we recognize that we can't determine the future, and we trust you for that future. But right now, we're blessed financially. And we wish to give money in a way that we hope will speak for your purposes and principles in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Make us generous. Amen.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Nick, and I'm the Children and Families Leader here at Haddington Baptist Church. I have the privilege of having that job. I love it. we've got some amazing children and families as part of our church, and I have enjoyed for quite a long time now seeing these young people grow up. It's amazing. Today I'm going to share a passage from 1 Peter 4. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to flick through that. And I'm just going to pray as we begin. Father God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all the things that you give us. Thank you for the life that you've given to us and the way that you want to team up and partner with us as we go on an adventure with you. So today, as we explore what you'd like to say to us about who we are and what we have and what we're going to do with what we have, I ask that you minister to us now for the next 15, 20 minutes, as we just want to explore with you what it means to be close to you and to live for you. Amen. I was given this passage from 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, but I pinched verses 8 and 9 as well. And the good thing about this passage is it speaks for itself. It arrived to me and I was like, that passage of Scripture already stands. What more can I say? So let me read it to you. There is a bit more, of course. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So I received the verse, and it says, anyone who speaks, speak with the very words of God. I'm like, oh no! But I'm encouraged as I've explored the passage that God's got things for you, and he's had things for me as I've explored what that means for me. So I want to show you this picture. I've got the clicker. So that for all secondary school students, they now go, oh no, not him as well. So in secondary school, or in Charwell School, they talk about this mindset. The idea that, there's a few like, oh no, yes they do that. That they want their students to have a growth mindset. They want them to take on challenges and grow, rather than be fixed and locked into a way of thinking or way of being. So I want to challenge us this morning to have a growth mindset. So I don't know what you think about loving others, hospitality, and using your gifts, and what gifts you have. But I'd like to encourage you that there's more, that there is a growth possible for us as a church family to see God's kingdom come by using everything that we have. So you've probably been to lots of things where you talk about spiritual gifts. You've probably been to things where you think about who you are and what you're doing with God. But today's another one of those, and an opportunity for the Holy Spirit just to minister to you here while we think about those things. So, this letter in 1 Peter 4 comes to a group of Christians who are living in what is now Turkey. So the letter starts with, this is a circular letter to the elect resident aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. It's a circular letter that would go round to each of these places as a voice of encouragement. Why do they need encouragement? Why do they need this letter to go round and tell them something of God's truth for them? It's because it's a place of suffering. It's a place where they're suffering officially. So the Roman persecution is huge in this area. There is a real danger to live as a Christian, and many Christians died. So the pressure to be a Christian in this area at this time would have been huge. And also socially, they were under a lot of persecution. They just didn't fit in, because the culture at the time was not the same as what Jesus had taught. Didn't have the same set of beliefs, and so they were judged. So often they would be facing poverty or oppression or persecution or slander. They felt abandoned and lonely. So that's why the letter from Peter coming round would be a voice of encouragement. He's saying, arm yourself with the same attitude as Christ. Okay? Arm yourself with the same attitude as Christ, it says in verse 1 of 1 Peter. Because Christ suffered, arm yourself in that, or have the mindset of Christ. So what's Peter's advice? Here he is, you're suffering, it's really difficult. Just think of how Christ suffered. And then he's got a little bit of 1 Peter 4, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then he goes on to talk about the suffering of Jesus again. So what's his words of encouragement? It's these verses that we've looked at. But this time, I'm going to read them to you from the Message version, because it just comes across a little bit differently. So this is the same verses that we had at the start. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus. And he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, on course to the end of time. Oh, yes. On course to the end of time. Oh, yes. And he gets all the credit. And it's, why have we got all these gifts? Why have we got to love each other deeply? Why have we got to offer beds to the hungry and homes to the homeless, because that's God's bright presence evident in everything that we do. I'm just going to leave it a moment and have a drink. Have a look. Read it again. Okay, so there's three things. The first two I'm going to do really quickly because they kind of gatecrash James's sermon next week. And then we're going to look at what we've got, the gifts that we've got. So love deeply. Love each other deeply. I think there's many examples in this church family of people showing that depth of love to each other and to people in our community. But there's always room for more, isn't there? So just think of those people that you show God's love to. And just think, where could there be more? And also, offer hospitality. I think there's opportunities to offer hospitality to people that we know and connect with them more often. I think we do bits of it, but I think we could do more. We could offer our homes more and offer our things more. And also, I think we have the opportunity to offer to those who are needy. And James talked about the gift day that is next week. That's one opportunity, but there are many. So I want to encourage us that there are things that we're doing, but there could be more that we're doing as a church family. There could be more, and it doesn't necessarily mean more work, more time, more effort, more hassle. If we have that growth mindset, that idea that we can have His Spirit with us and in His strength we can offer those things, then all things are possible. So I like the bit when, just before Jesus' trial, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So we need to do it because Jesus said, but also it's attractive to other people. People will see it and see it as different, which I think is why Peter's saying it in the midst of all this suffering. If you love each other deeply and offer hospitality, it's countercultural. It stands out, and people will be attracted to it. And then it says, use the gifts we've been given. So I want to tell you a couple of things that I've done in children's work to help children explore the gifts God's given them. So I talk about who they naturally are and all of their natural abilities that they have. And then I talk about how God's got spiritual gifts for them also. So I talk about two trees. And the first tree is a Christmas tree. And they all go, "Oh, I love presents." And I talk about how the Holy Spirit actually comes and hangs gifts on. You've done nothing to deserve them, but He hangs gifts on us for other people. So when we get ready for Christmas, we put presents on, and there's a delight as we place the presents on the tree, ready for the person to receive that gift. And that's what God does with us. He gives us gifts that we don't deserve for His grace in our church family, in our wider community. We receive gifts, not for us, because we've done nothing, but through His grace we can build a stronger community by using those gifts. So that's like a Christmas tree. But a pine tree in its natural habitat wouldn't have gifts on it, unless it's some sort of crazy treasure hunt game thing. But it would have pine cones, and they have grown from the fruit of that tree. They have been produced. And God wants that growth in us to be producing good fruit. And so there's two trees we talk about with the children that you get gifts for a time or things that grow from you that are given to you, hung on you by God. And there are those things that He wants to grow in you together. So it's a bit like the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And then we talk about, what are these gifts? So here is a big table full of some of the gifts that it talks about, some of the spiritual gifts it talks about in the Bible. So they're there for you to look at. And while you're looking at those, have a think. Which ones do you identify with? Which ones do you see in other people? And I'm going to open these boxes. Okay. So, to help children understand, being a physical, colourful, bright kind of things, children seem to like those. I hope you do too. So in this box, we've got healing. So we put bandages in here, and we talk about how people can pray for healing for other people. So we've got bandages. In this box, we've got a seed, which represents faith and how we can grow in faith. And God wants us all to grow in faith. Miracles! Fish and bread. Oh, no. And we talk about God wants us to work in miracles. So these three gifts we talk to the children are the we talk about them as doing gifts. So there's faith and miracles and healing, and we want to be general practitioners, GPs, of all of these gifts. But there are some specialists who particularly love to pray for healing or particularly want to see miracles and breakthroughs. But we all need to be praying for faith, our faith to grow. We all need to be praying for healing for others in all sorts of different ways. And we want to see miracles. And so we encourage the young people that actually you can pray into all of these things. But some people become specialists at it, whereas actually we all generally practice them. Another set of gifts will be the gift of tongues. Well, I don't know what else to say. Put it back in the box. And then we have a Spanish to English, English to Spanish dictionary, and the gifts of interpretation of tongues. So we talk about how if you hear a different language, you would use a dictionary to explain it, that God can give a tongue to a person and then an interpretation to build up the church, to encourage the church, to be a voice into the church. And then we have prophecy. Now, I've put a heart inside here for prophecy because for the children to understand what prophecy is, it would be a word of encouragement or a word of love into your heart. So we often use three different pictures of that. We use a balloon that it increases in size as we're encouraged and a word is spoken and it builds us up. It gives us courage. We use a rope that's sort of tied on and says, come on, come on, come and do this, as a word of direction. And we talk about a blanket as a word of comfort. Because when we speak a word of prophecy, it speaks something into our heart of God's love for us. So that's why we have a heart. In this one, we've got binoculars for discernment. Because it's about seeing what you can't see naturally. So discernment of spirits would be to be able to see something that God's shown you, rather than something you naturally see. Sometimes for me, that feels like a nudge. Like, that's just not quite right. Something about that's not quite right. And there's this box, this is wisdom. To have a torch for wisdom, because it shines a light into a situation. That sense that God gives you something that revealed something by His Spirit. So like the 1 Corinthians 2 verse that speaks about being revealed by His Spirit. So we have a torch, like shining light into a situation. Last one. I have a key. And this is a word of knowledge. So something that God's shown you that unlocks something in someone's life. And so we talk to the children about receiving a picture or a message from God that just releases something or unlocks something that's special in someone. And because you heard it and share it, then they get to receive what's unlocked within them. So we have all of these different things. And we talk about how at various times we receive different spiritual gifts. And some people are known for having that particular spiritual gift. But we all have lots and lots of gifts. We all have lots and lots of things that God said, come on and use them with me. Come on. And the thing about gifts is they all belong inside God's grace. Because we don't deserve them, but he wants us to have them. He wants to give us these things. So within his Holy Spirit, within his grace, all of these gifts fit. Now these are just the 9 from 1 Corinthians. There are other gifts that are listed on there. And there are other gifts that we have. So I just grabbed 2 more boxes, which would fit in here also. I've got this, which we gave out at Holiday Club, to represent a gift of evangelism. So we're all called to be a witness. All called to be a witness, but some people are just love sharing God's love with other people. They're the evangelists. And we talk to the children and say, who loves talking about Jesus? And 2 or 3 children will put their hand up and say, that's me, I love it. Like, wow, better pray for you. And this one I put post-it notes, because this is the gift of administration. I love the gift of administration. Why do I love it? Because when I read the Bible, God is an administrator. He is an organizer. He sets up spaces for ministry to happen, for him to bless people. He gives the organization of the temple in 1 Chronicles 28. He talks about all the tiny details that are required so that his presence can fall on the people. And so if you're an administrator, if you've got that natural gift and you've got that spiritual gift, use it. We need it to set up spaces for God to bless people. So there is no higher or lower gift. We've got them together as a church family to bless each other and see his grace come. We've also got it to bless our community. So I don't know what you're thinking now. How's your growth mindset going? It's kind of, are you feeling like I've got some gifts, or are you feeling like there are things that are difficult? So I found a few pieces of scripture that talk about what we've got. So it talks about, there's that moment with Moses that says, when it says, what's in your hand? And it reminded me of a Cracker Jack, a TV program from when I was a kid. We used to have to, for those who were younger, you used to get prizes. It's utter nonsense prizes. And if you got the question right, you held them. And if you got it wrong, you had to hold a cabbage. And I just had this feeling of, actually, in our church family, we've got all these gifts, and it's time to use them. And it reminded me of Moses, when God said, what's in your hand? And he had a staff. And he said, put it on the ground, and it turned into a snake. And he, what's in your hand, Moses? And he pointed it, and the sea parted. It's just a staff. But because Moses had partnered with God, it allowed him to walk into something amazing. And David, he had an everyday skill of being able to swing a sling round and fire a stone because he protected his sheep. But God said, I need that skill now. I need that skill because I want to make a spiritual breakthrough. And he swung it round and knocked out Goliath because of a natural ability that was put in God's hands. And there was the boy who came with his lunch to serve the 5,000. And he gave what he had. And just by giving what he had, he said to God, here you are, God, this is what I've got. And God can do the miraculous with it. What stops us? What are the barriers that stop us bringing all the gifts, natural talents, spiritual gifts, all the things that we have, all the time and the effort and the finances? What stops us? What are the barriers? Let's just have a think for a moment. What are your barriers that stop you bringing some of the gifts God's given you into this church community or into the wider community? What prevents us? What stops us? I wrote a few things down. I thought, for me, busyness, being stressed, but just feeling like I've got no time to to even just be in his presence to know what to bring. Sometimes I think there's not actually an opportunity to share something in our big gathered community or in our DG groups or our home groups. There's not always a space to use the gifts that we have. Sometimes culturally it's a bit awkward. So you've got this gift and you know that you're meant to do it, use it or be it, but it feels socially awkward in order to use what God's given you. And maybe just in these small social units, everybody knows each other. So we compare with each other. So I'm up here talking. I don't normally do this. So I listen to other people's talks online and go, oh gosh, they're really good at this. Here we go. Just be you, Nick. Bring a load of kit. That'll do. That's what you're meant to do. Be you. And then there's ourselves. There's that sense of fear, that self-belief or self-esteem that can stop us walking in the gifts he's given us. And sometimes we're just content, it's okay, so we don't want to take a risk. We don't want to do anything that's not safe. But back to verse 11, it says, with strength God gives so that in everything God will be praised through Jesus Christ. With the strength God gives us, that in everything God will be praised through Jesus Christ. So, I think we need a Jesus mindset. You can do all things through Christ. Okay, you're loved. If we put Jesus first, which is what Chris was talking about last week, that costly discipleship, we put him first and have a Jesus mindset, we can bring what he's given us to encourage and bring his grace into the space. So the gifts are a means of us administering grace to one another. So if you've got gifts, natural talents, and things, then let's bring them to share his grace together. We must use our gifts. You've not been given gifts from God for them to stay unwrapped or unused. I know that at Christmas, kids open all the presents and some get unused, but we've been given them for a reason, and that's to team up with him. And we need to use them in his strength, not our strength. It's very easy to go to our natural ability to do things. And for his glory. And the balloon is irrelevant because we were going to do something else and now it's not needed. So, I'm going to leave the verse up. And I'm going to ask if possible the band could come. And I want to go back to that what's in your hand section. And I'm going to encourage you to just think about what natural abilities God's given you. What spiritual gifts you have. And what things you have. So that might be your time or your possessions, and we're just going to offer them to God to say, I want to see your grace flow here. And please be encouraged. It's not I've got to do more. There's things we already bring that we say, God, I'm bringing these again because I keep bringing these and you're using them, and I just want to keep offering them to you. So if you feel able, I'd love you to stand and hold your hands to say, God, this is what's in my hand. I'm offering it to you. So if you'd like to, please would you stand and hold your hands like this. You don't have to. And we'll just sing. I don't know what we'll sing.
We'll sing God of Justice.
Well, you want us to be with you. Help us to find the ways to team up with you and partner with you to see your kingdom come. Help us to feel encouraged rather than, oh, not more. And just help us to do it in your strength. So as we just stand for just 10 seconds more, we just ask that you grow in us a way of being like your son Jesus, living for him and empowered by you. Amen.
Really good to you. A bit of a strain that I'm Cecily. She would have said that Hannah Flatman and a little cutie called Rita are going to be dropping in here on Thursday, that is to Oxford, for an unspecified number of days. So please sort of watch your various emails and things in case we organise something for you to get to meet her. And you might like to pray for Tim, who's presently in Abbeye, which you'll recognise as being quite a risky place, but the news is very encouraging. Thank you.
We just sing. my soul. Stepping forward, keep us from just singing. Move us into action. We must go. We must go. Live to feed the hungry. Stand beside the broken. We must go. Step before.